Okay, you do want a set of notes, whether you get the digital notes off of the YouTube link, or you get a paper copy, because all the cross references are in the handout. So what are we talking about? We want to learn how to communicate with one another. And the Bible has so much to say about communication. Again, there's no way that, I mean, we could do an exhaustive study, but we'd be at this for several years. There's just so much, and I tried to just categorize concepts around big statements so I could come up with the Ten Commandments of communication. I don't know why, but that's what I did. So the first commandment is stop lying. Right? Stop telling lies. What's the antidote to that? Commandment number two, speak the truth in love. When you come to somebody, you don't want to approach them. I mean, maybe you're speaking truth, but you don't want to just come to them barking commands or accusations. You speak to your brother or sister in Christ with the goal of keeping them, with the goal of keeping their heart, with the goal of building them up in their faith. And that brought us to commandment number three, don't shoot off your mouth. That's what we looked at last time. You want to make sure that you understand what's going on or what the conversation is. You want to make sure you understand first before you speak. So we talked about different aspects of that. We talked about active listening. When people are speaking, you want to avoid interrupting them. You want to make sure that you're hearing them. You may want to mirror back or communicate back what they're saying. But you want to avoid interrupting them. You know, it's frustrating for people when they can't communicate a complete thought or concept because of constant interruptions. Interrupting people is disrespectful. And so you want to listen to and you want to understand what someone is saying so that you can then respond to it. And so that brought us to commandment number four, order your thoughts and speech. You want to think before you speak. You want to work to know what you're going to say. Just like you want to work to understand what's being said, you want to actually think about what you're going to say before you say it. And in communicating with people, you want to seek to be understood. Some people just want to be heard. And you want to communicate so that there can be understanding. We looked at some passages that gave us biblical tips last time under, you know, ordering our thoughts and our speech. And again, there's so much in God's Word that gives insight and directs how we ought to speak. But before we get to our next commandment tonight, I've got one more biblical tip that we need to look at. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Let's consider this passage and get one more tip before we go on to our next commandment. Ephesians 5 verse 1 says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But all fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." Christians don't live this way. Christians don't fornicate. Christians don't pursue uncleanness. Christians don't covet. So, well, I happen to know a lot of Christians that have done all of that. Well, that's actually who they are in the flesh. That's not who they are in Christ. For us to live is Christ, amen? Again, super weak, but I'll work with what I got. There you go. Don't let it should never, people shouldn't say that we have this testimony. Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Verse 4, watch this now. Neither filthiness, nor, here it is, foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather what should come out of your mouth, the giving of thanks. So get this down in your notes. Don't talk stupid. Don't talk stupid. Don't talk foolish. Don't talk trash. Instead of talking trash, give thanks. So you want to be careful. You know, if you have the rep that you're not a serious person, that's a problem. You don't want to be lewd in your communication. You don't want to be foolish in how you communicate, constantly jesting. You know, joking about, right? We all do that to some degree. And that's kind of a tough one because you always wonder, where's the line when we're joking? We got to be careful. Where's the Lord give us wisdom there, because you do not want the rep that you're not serious, that you're not serious about the Lord, the things of the Lord. You're always clowning. You're always making a joke. You're like the court jester. That doesn't represent Christ well. 2 Timothy 2:16 says, "Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." Whenever two people get into a jesting contest, it gets out of bounds really quick. When two people are trying to top each other, telling jokes and talking trash, it gets out of bounds really quick. It actually trends toward more ungodliness. Get this down in your notes. Here's the bottom line. At the end of the day, spiritual maturity will produce spiritual speech. You will communicate absolutely what and who you are. The life of the Spirit is what should be manifest. And I'll give you an example. Titus, in explaining to the women, the elder women who have a function, they don't have the office of pastor, but they very much have the function of leading the younger women in the faith. And look at what he says here in Titus chapter 2, verse 1. "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." What's coming out of my mouth? What's true in the Bible? "Speak the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity and patience." The aged women, just the same, just like the elders, so also the aged women likewise, "that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." Then he says, "Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity." Watch this now, verse 8. "Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." Nobody ought to be able to look at God's people and say, "These people are not serious. They're not the real deal. They're a fraud." But notice, we're talking about these elders and what's coming out of their life. It's not foolishness. It's not wickedness. Their speech isn't dividing God's people. They're building up God's people in the faith. Spiritual maturity produces spiritual speech. What comes out of your mouth will reveal what's in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so there's just one more pro tip in terms of our communication. We don't want to talk stupid. All right, commandment number 5, do not be an emotional vampire. Vampire is your blank. And you know the type, you know what I'm talking about. Some people, you see them coming and it's in your heart of hearts. You're smiling, but in your heart, you're, oh no. Oh, God in heaven, help me. I mean, some people can just suck the life out of you for hours at a time. You see him coming and you're just like, oh, okay, I'm about to lose an hour of my life. I'm never going to get back. It's gone. It's going to go up in smoke. And I won't understand. We're not actually going to accomplish anything. Nothing's going to be communicated well. I'm going to lose this hour. So what you want to do is you don't want to be the emotional vampire that's sucking the life out of the people that God's placed in your life. No, what you want to do is you want to trust God for the grace to grow out of needing to capture people in order to talk at them. That's what some people do. They will corner someone and then talk at them, sometimes for hours. Like there are situations, you know what I'm talking about. Some people's like, "Hey, you know, it's been great talking." You lied. "It's been great talking to you, but I really got to go. I got someplace I have to be." And they just keep on talking, and you keep on, like, you're giving all the hints. You're like doing this, and they just keep coming. They don't have a breath mint. They're talking right there in your face. It's suffering, okay? So you're like, you can be in the car, and they're just still right there in the window, and it's like, "I got to go. Look, I'm popping the clutch." Don't be that guy. Don't be that gal that has to capture people in order to just have someone to say words at. Let's say it this way. Get this down in your notes. Don't hold people hostage. It's not fair. If you've got something to say to someone, show a little respect. Think about what you're going to say. Say what you need and then finish. Stop talking and move on. Why do people hold people hostage? I don't know. I think some people, the problem is they just want attention. They want to be heard. They want to be affirmed. They want someone to hear them, to affirm them, to love them, to accept them. And I got, you know, that's a shame, especially in the church, for believers when they're so desperate to be affirmed by man, when they've already been accepted by the Lord Jesus Christ. They've already been accepted by God Himself. You want to find your affirmation. You want to find your security. You want to find your contentment, your comfort. You want to find that in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. That's where you want to find it. But some people, they're looking for attention. And so remember this, when you're talking to people, again, this is key, when we speak, what we say should be for the benefit of the hearer versus us as the speaker. Is what I'm saying a help to you? Maybe I have need. Am I communicating well my need and then making space for a response? Sometimes people are just foolish. It's like the fool that has to discover his own heart. And so, you know, whatever they're thinking, that's what's coming out of their mouth. That doesn't minister grace to the hearer. Remember, we looked at this. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer." So if I've got something to say to you, first of all, okay, is it going to minister grace? Is it going to edify? Is it going to build you up? Otherwise, I need to go back to the drawing board before I open my big trap. Everybody with me? Does this make sense? Ecclesiastes 9:17 says, "The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools." Lord, help us. Again, remember, this is a key principle. Speak to be understood, not just heard. Speak to be understood, not just heard. So that takes us back to the concept of not just shooting off our mouth, speaking to fill space, that kind of thing. You want to make sure that what you're saying can be understood. And so again, get this down in your notes. You want to think about what you have to say. You want to say it, and now here's the key. Finish. Finish is your next blank. Just be done. Think about it, say it, and then be done. You don't have to keep saying it. You don't have to just keep going. You just don't have to keep worrying it over and over again. Some people, they will talk to you about the exact same thing for hours, and they'll just say it over and over in different ways with different adjectives, but it's just the same thing over and over. Not fair. You don't want to do that. You don't want to treat people that way. It's not fair to anyone. Proverbs 10:19 says, "In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin." In the multitude of words, there won't be any lack of sin. "In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom." So some people are looking for acceptance, or they just want to capture a victim, to just talk the light. It's like the emotional vampire is just getting a high off of this person that's trapped in their clutches, you know. But some people just want pity. They just want pity. You know, some people go through life. I mean, you've heard the phrase Debbie Downer. You know, man, what a terrible way to live. But you're manipulating people to comfort you, to feel sorry for you. You're just always talking about how bad it is. Somebody may be going through a rough time. You're going through a worse time. It's got to all be about you. Just remember, okay, if that's you, 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 14 says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." If that's you, you're always looking for a pity party, well, you've just outed yourself as being feeble-minded and weak. And your brothers and sisters are obliged to support you. Bless their heart. Bless his heart. He can't help himself. Let's just try to encourage him as best we can. You've outed yourself. Don't be a Debbie Downer. Amen. Okay. Next, it's still in the same class of sucking the life out of people. Don't badger people. You don't want to badger people. You know what I'm talking about for the international students when we talk about somebody badgering someone? They're just going after them all the time. Peck, 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 peck. Just constant repetition. Trying to get your way. Think about the example of Samson. Strongest man that ever lived. You want to talk about a hoss? Samson. Manly man. And you know what? You know ultimately what killed him? Some woman badgered him to death. Judges 16:16 says, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. That's a great passage in scripture. Like, he's like, I'd rather be dead than have to put up with this. And so he tells his whole secret. Here's how you take me out. Do it. You know, he's just done. He got badgered to death. So when you're badgering people, in the example of Samson, what's the response now? People respond stupid, don't they? It makes people respond stupid. That's what Samson did. He'd rather face death than her nagging. Proverbs 21:19 says, it's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. You guys are wise. Not one man in this room said, amen. But we know that's a true proverb. We know that in our heart, don't we, boys? Don't fall for it. Don't say amen. Proverbs 25:24, it is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. So Samson lets the secret slip. Better dead than constantly harangued. That is a stupid decision. You're badgering people, you're haranguing them, you're picking at them, just you want to get your way, you're just on them all the that's not fair. So get this down in your notes. What you want to do is pay attention to body language. If you care, you can tell when people are done. Pay attention to body language. When someone is done, let them go. Have mercy on them, just let them go. Proverbs 25:17 says, withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. Here comes the neighbor again. Oh, God, help me. Honey, quick, set the house on fire. Better to have an emergency than to have to be trapped in here. If you need to follow up with someone about something, that's fine. Trust God for another shot later. Trust God for an open door. Don't badger people. It's not fair. All right. Is everybody with me so far?
Yeah.
Are we getting anywhere with this series? Lord help us. Okay. Commandment number 6, do not complain or murmur. You don't want complaining or murmuring coming out of your mouth. Nobody likes a whiner, not even God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The church gets a warning. Brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Man, are these a blessed people or what? Are they loved by God or what? They're super blessed. They're absolutely loved. They're taken care of. I mean, they're just, what an incredible time and the life and the nation of Israel. This is wonderful. Look at what the Bible says in verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were for our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for our ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Okay, I read that passage and I find out, this is a really big deal, this is key, murmuring and complaining, they're deadly. Murmuring and complaining are deadly. The command, I mean, is God with us? Is God for us? Then what do we have to complain about? Are God's promises over our life true? Then what do we have to complain about? Well, I'm not driving a Dodge Challenger with the Hemi and the Scat Pack. I mean, you know, I'm just not driving the car that I want. Man, if you had that car, you'd be dead in a week. God is watching out for you. Praise. Oh, well, you know, she won't say yes to a date. God's sparing one of you. Praise the Lord. I mean, I don't know. If God is with us, if God is for us, why would we be anything other than content? Is God good? He's absolutely good. I don't have anything to whine and complain about. You know, I ought to be right now burning in hell in a literal lake of fire. That's where I ought to be. Everything from there is just up. It's good. Thank God for the salvation that I have in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the rest of eternity, I don't have one thing to complain about. We ought to be a grateful people. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Don't whine about what you have to do in your service to the Lord, your service to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless. You ought to sound like God's children, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. They murmur and complain all the time. You shine as the light of God before them, among whom you shine as lights in the world. I'll tell you what the murmurer's motivation is. Jude reveals it in Jude verses 14 through 16. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Why? To execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. What are they? Verse 16. These are murmurers and complainers. Here it is. What's their motivation? Why are they murmuring and complaining? They're walking after their own lusts. I want my way. If I don't get my way, it's the highway. They're walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. So you didn't get your way. Thank God for it. If it mattered, if it was important, God would have made sure that what you wanted came to pass. He would have done that. Man, I don't want anything in my life but what God signed off on it. Hello, does that make sense? Why would you settle for anything less than God's perfect will for your life anyway? I don't want what I want, desperately, with all my heart. I don't want what I want. I want what God wants for me. I need to learn in all things, in any state, I need to learn to be content in Christ. Here's a key on this, this point of murmuring. You don't want to gripe about people behind their back over their part in some situation you don't like. Don't do that. If somebody is doing something that you don't like, go talk to them. Be up front. Go straight to them. Make your complaint to them. Don't beat them down. Don't put them in their place. Again, your goal is reconciliation. Your goal is to build your brother or sister Christ in Christ up in their faith. Don't gripe about people behind their back. Just go talk to them. But here's the cool thing. You can whine all you want to Jesus, as long as it's to him. Take your complaint directly to the Lord in prayer. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7 are just a couple of the most wonderful verses in the Bible. Here's good counsel. Humble yourself. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So here's what you do. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. If you got to complain to anybody, go complain to the Lord and hear his word, right? Let him settle you. Let him bring you to the end of your dissatisfaction. You didn't get your way. Okay. What? Boo-hoo. Now you just take your toys and go home? You give up? You quit? No. Let Jesus be your salve, right? Let Jesus be your balm. Let Jesus be your source of contentment and comfort. And you're going to find that in the Word. This book is a prayer manual. From Genesis to Revelation, it's going to show you, it's going to give you insight into God's will over humanity. And it's going to show you how to pray and ask the Lord for his will over your life. And you ought to just trust him for that. I don't need my way. I don't need my rights to be respected and fulfilled. I don't have to have that. If I've got Christ, I'm good. Amen? Take your complaint directly to the Lord in prayer. Cast all your care, everything that you're worried about, every problem, every issue, give it to Jesus. And then just move forward in peace. He's got you. He'll take care of it. If it's a big enough deal to God, he'll work it all out. He'll take care of it. I'm just going to trust him. Amen? Can I pray for your comms? Can I pray for all of our comms as the choir comes up to close us out in prayer? Let's just bow our heads, let's humble ourselves for a moment. Is there anybody that would say, Pastor, pray for me? I've got a vampire in my life. Can I see your hands? Okay, there's a few. Okay, all right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to pray for you. All right. How many would say, Pastor, pray for me, I'm kind of a vampire? Okay. Oh, wow, all right. I will, I'll pray for you. Okay. All right, I'll do it. Okay. Some people are raising their hand. They've got a vampire in their life, and then they raise their hand. I'm a vampire. Okay. Well, let's pray. How many would say, "Man, pray for me. I've been murmuring and complaining, and I got to cut that out." Okay. Father, you see our need. We can't hide anything from you. And so, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for these principles. And, Lord, for those that are dealing with people who are just emotional vampires, Lord, would you increase their capacity? Would you also give them the wisdom and the discernment to be able to communicate effectively, to make sure that the person that's talking to them, they know they're heard, they're loved. But at the end of the day, nobody gets to abuse a child of God. It's not fair. It's not right. And Lord, we can trust you for the grace to extricate ourselves from those kind of situations. And so, Lord, you said if any man lack wisdom, to ask you, to ask from on high, and that you wouldn't despise us, you wouldn't upbraid us, you wouldn't scorn us for not having the wisdom that we need. Lord, we trust you for it. God, I thank you that you're liberal in how you give to us as your children. And then for those that wrestle with this problem, Lord, help them to be at peace. They're your child. They're a child of God. They are loved. They are accepted. They are affirmed. Help them to learn to listen first at your feet in your word, but then also to be able to hear their brothers and sisters. And then, Lord, deliver us from the lie that we have reasons to be upset and to murmur and complain about our lot in life. Lord, help us to be a grateful people. Lord, we ask for your grace. Lord, help us to be a people who are content. Whatever our situation, whatever we face, we've got you. That's everything. We've got you. We're blessed. We got you. We don't have anything to murmur or complain about. And whenever we have situations in our life that hurt us, that injure us, that we wouldn't turn it into combat, that we wouldn't turn it into a tit-for-tat situation, but that we'd just take it to you in prayer and we'd trust you for the path to reconciliation with our brother. Lord, we need you. Every day we need you. In everything, we need you. Lord, without you, we can do nothing. But Lord, with you, all things are possible. And so, Lord, I pray for wisdom for my brothers and sisters, for all of us, that our communication would be glorifying to you. Lord, I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.